series has been entitled The Holy Spirit According To. And the first thing we want to establish is the reason the Lord directed for this series to be given. Because some Adventists have discovered that practically all our pioneers were anti-Trinitarian and have concluded that the church today should reject the doctrine of the Trinity. Some of our churches are teaching that the Holy Spirit is neither a person or a member of the Godhead. The truth is that the Lord has guided this movement to a greater biblical understanding of God. And today, based on the Bible, we affirm the truth of one in the plurality of the persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This has been the motivation for this series. And let me review with you real quick. Part one, we looked at the Holy Spirit according to Jesus. And we discovered that in the Bible, in John the 8th chapter, Jesus said to the religious leaders, "Before Abraham was, I am." And everybody who's ever lived and breathed understands completely that Jesus was calling himself God, and that he is considered the self-existent one. There are churches in the Adventist denomination in our church today that are teaching anti-Trinitarianism. So we're taking a step-by-step look at this. The first one was about Jesus. Why Jesus? Because included in the anti-Trinitarian, hold on to your seat, is the teaching that Jesus is not one with the Father, that he had a beginning sometime in the distant past, but he's not the same as the Father. And the Holy Spirit is not a person and is not part of the Godhead. He's just simply a power. And so we looked at Jesus and discovered a number of places, but the one that to me is more graphic is when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." I am is the term God used to describe himself. Jesus was telling the people that the Father and I are one indeed. Jesus is the self-existent one. Number two, we looked at according to history, and we discovered that there was a man named Arius at the beginning of the 4th century A.D. that introduced this very doctrine. Prior to that, the church never believed what Arius said. Jesus had a beginning. He's not the same as the Father. The Holy Spirit is not God and is just a power. He's not a person. And they had two councils in succession in that same century in which the church rejected Arius' teaching. And now all of a sudden, in recent years, it's popped back up amongst Adventists. And number three, in the history we discovered, if you read The Desire of Ages, you will discover that Jesus clearly teaches that Jesus was God. That Ellen White in The Desire of Ages teaches that Jesus is God very clearly. So under history, we discovered all that. And then the third part, which was last week, according to the disciples. And I'll just simply tell you this, you know, you can get online and hear the past series for yourself. The New Testament especially clearly taught the Holy Spirit is a person and is God. Part four, the Holy Spirit according to the latter rain. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Oh, Father in heaven, how thankful we are to be together today. And to also see how Satan works, which alerts us that something special and important is going to be presented. And he uses different ones of us, including myself, to mess things up. But you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We defer to you. And Lord, I want you to give me the words to come out of my mouth according to the thoughts that you have provided, to give us assurance of this beautiful biblical doctrine that at this time is more important than ever, as we will see. So use me in spite of me, Lord. Help me to reveal Jesus. And when everyone leaves, they can say, we heard Jesus and we saw Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter. You're going to find this really interesting. Children, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn in them to Acts, the fourth chapter. And as I said to you, if you don't have a Bible, see me, I'll give you one. I want you to follow along. This is an exciting story found in Acts, the fourth chapter. Does everybody have it? Okay, this side has it, but this side doesn't. Are you awake? You got it? Okay. Wait till you hear it. This is really cool. Now, as they spoke, verse 1, to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came to them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the words believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now I'm going to go on. This is Peter and John preaching in the temple to the people. And the authorities come and arrest them and put them in prison till the next day. And it came to pass on the next day, verse 5, that the rulers, the elders, the scribes, as well as Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, Peter and John, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Okay, you Bible students, when you read a verse like that, it tells you, you better go back and read more earlier. And you will discover this is when Peter and John were walking in the temple and there was a beggar at the temple. You remember what they did? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he was walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise up and walk. They raised him up. They said, we don't have any money, but what we got, we'll give to you. Life, light, freedom, in the name of Jesus. And they were livid, the religious leaders, and came and got them. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and by what name have you done this? Then Peter, get this, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for the good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, to the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you all. This is the stone which was rejected to the builders, which became the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Whoa. You know, if you have time to think about this, first of all, Peter and John called before the Sanhedrin for preaching Jesus publicly. Number two, it says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, told them that they killed the Messiah. Now, what is so unbelievable about this? Stop and think. Remember, you got to connect the Bible together. So you go back to the Gospels and you remember Peter saying to Jesus, though all these forsake you, I won't forsake you. And what did Peter do three times? He denied Jesus Christ to a couple of leaders. And now all of a sudden he has the gift of the and stands before the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Israel, and said, you killed the Messiah. And by the way, a part of the Sanhedrin includes the Sadducees. And as mind-boggling as it is, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so he said, and God rose him from the dead. And they're going, man, what power suddenly Peter has. An uneducated man. And finally, number three, Peter and John called before the Sanhedrin for preaching Jesus. And so what happened? They released John and Peter after they warned them not to do this anymore. They went back to the brethren that were praying for them all night long. They got together and they decided to pray. If you look at the end of chapter 4, you'll discover that they prayed together and asked for boldness to preach the gospel. And look what happened in verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. Wow. I looked at this and I thought, there's something wrong here. And we've got to figure out something. So before we do, let's continue and we'll find out what I'm referring to when I say something is wrong here when this happened to John and Peter and the other disciples as they were praying together in the upper room or in a location. It doesn't say the upper room. So let's take a look at this latter rain. And let's take a look at the first mention in the Bible is Deuteronomy 11:14. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. And then Hosea 6:3 says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to earth. Now I got to do something here. I want you to see this. In Deuteronomy, God gives. It says, I will give the rain. Number one. Number two, in Hosea, notice that the knowledge of the Lord will give us the Holy Spirit. And notice it says, his goings, Jesus' goings, is of the morning. Now, when it says of the morning, it means, were any of you up this morning at 4? 5? 5? What was it like outside at 5? It was dark. By the way, we came here at 5:30 and we're praying right here for this very service and all you people who are here. 5:30 in the morning. We got done, we lifted our head, it was almost 7. The sun was shining. Then I went home to get my dogs to take them for a walk, and the sun got brighter. And when we got dressed and came to church, the sun was really bright. And when we leave church today and the sun is up towards the ceiling, it's going to be even more bright. His going forth is as the morning. It grows. This is important, so keep that in your mind. And then Joel 2:23. I love this. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain faithfully, and He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. And then we're going to go to the New Testament and take a look at James. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. For now the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. So I just pulled three of the texts out of the Old Testament and one out of the New to let you know that God is willing to give us the greatest gift possible, which will prepare us for the harvest. That's right, the second coming of Jesus. Take a look at this farmer metaphor. Number one, early and former rain, that means seed time. So when you read early rain, latter rain, or other places it says the former rain or latter rain. Former and early means seed time. Seed time is when you plant the seed. When you plant the seed, if it doesn't rain, what happens? There'll be no crop. And it just so happens in the Middle East that this early rain comes in November. But in the United States, it comes March, April, May. I find that interesting. The latter rain or spring rain, by the way, in some of those texts, it'll say spring rain. Well, according to this chart, you'll see why it's called this spring rain. The latter rain in the Middle East comes in the spring. See, that's our seed time. But for them, it's the harvest. In the U.S., it's August, September. And I love this. It says, and glorious was the result. Okay? So what's the problem here? Under the figure of the early and the latter rain that falls in eastern lands at seed time and harvest, the Hebrew prophets foretold the bestowal of spiritual grace in extraordinary measure upon God's church. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostle was the beginning of the early or former rain. What do we call that? Pentecost. Pentecost. But near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace is promised to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man, the latter rain, and it is for this added power that Christians are to send their petitions to the Lord of harvest, because the Bible says in the time of the latter rain, in response, God will give you bright clouds and give the showers of rain. Acts of the Apostles, page 54. Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles alert us. It uses a metaphor of farming to teach us a spiritual lesson. You see, the church was launched with Pentecost. And all of a sudden, a bunch of farmers, that's what we used to say when I was a kid. Well, I shouldn't have used that. Now I'm in trouble. People who were uneducated, like the disciples were, suddenly spoke foreign languages and with power. In fact, if you read 4-5, you will find that they said, these men have been with Jesus. And it clearly meant that they couldn't believe how intelligent they sounded. The Holy Spirit. And so, as the early rain, Pentecost launched the church. Now let's take a look at the church. Jesus said, I'm leaving you. To me, folks, that is not good news at all. And when the disciples heard that, they realized they have no resources whatsoever. They have no power whatsoever. They were despised by all the religious leaders everywhere. Even in Galilee, after a while, Jesus wore out his welcome. And all of a sudden, they're preaching so powerfully that people are being converted as well as healed. The Holy Spirit. Well, I left one out from you, and I apologize for that. And here it is in Zechariah 1:10, and it clearly says this, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. That's it. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Regardless of your age, your size, your education, how much money you got, how many cars. We are to be praying for the outpouring of the latter rain. That's what we're told in the Bible. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? In fact, let's go to the New Testament and test this one out. Look what it says in the New Testament. It says this in Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? That isn't what it says, is it? Do you understand that the logic calls for the repeating of good gifts, but it doesn't? Instead, he said, the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Ask. And guess what? In the Greek, that word ask is atao. Atao means to ask, beg, call for, or crave, or desire. That's what that verb means. And it just so happened that that verb is a present participle in the Greek. That tells us that this expresses continual and repeated action. What are we to be doing? Praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the early and the latter rain. And see, what was wrong with that text is here's Peter, James, and they're in the upper room with other people who probably received the latter rain when they were at Pentecost. And all of a sudden it says, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's a progression, folks. You don't get converted. When you get converted, you get the Holy Spirit, but that isn't enough. We must be begging and craving for an additional outpouring. And again, you say, Pastor, how can you say that Pentecost was the early rain? Well, you just read the story that they prayed for boldness and they received the Holy Spirit yet again. Folks, we got to be praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And how does the latter rain happen? This is very simple. Take your Bibles and go to Acts, the first chapter. I got to wrap this up. Acts, the first chapter. Take a look at verse 12 and 14. Here's where they received the early rain, which was called Pentecost. Here's where a bunch of uneducated men and women, but you read these verses, there were women there, folks. And those women also received the Holy Spirit. And I presume that they also spoke foreign languages, because I counted 16 different languages. Look what it says. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they all went up to the upper room where they were staying. Here we go. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They say, wow, because the brothers are there. And you know, when you read this text, it said they continued. The Greek word is proskertereo. Proskertereo means continued. It means to be earnest towards a thing, to persevere, be constant, diligent. To me, when you look at the definition of the word, it just heightens the understanding. And then the word here that says continue with one accord, homothumadon. Homothumadon means one accord unanimously, and it means with one mind. And take a look at what it says in the Amplified Bible. All these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That is the sense of the Greek. These all with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer. How do we measure up to this? See, some great crisis needs to start happening to wake most of us up. We're not even praying for the Holy Spirit. And the Bible plainly says, in the time of the latter rain, pray for the latter rain. And so the disciples, they saw their need, folks. They went back to that upper room. And by the way, you know why they went back to that upper room? Jesus said, I want you to go out and preach, but before you do, go back to Jerusalem, the upper room, and wait till you receive power. And how many days were they in the upper room? How many? Come on, everybody. How many? No, that's 9.5. 10 days. 10 days to bring these diverse men who they were in the upper room with Jesus just before he washed their feet. I hate that James and John. They went to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, can we sit at your right and left hand? They even send their mother to ask them that question. And then there's Judas. He's always trying to be up front all the time. 30 days later, they go to the upper room, folks. They kneel down and pray. And in 10 days, the Holy Spirit was poured out because they were in one accord. Are you making a logical connection now? We got to do this. We have to. We got to pray every day for the Holy Spirit. In fact, you know what my prayer is? Lord, give me a desire to pray for the Holy Spirit. That's what's supposed to happen. Do something with me. And this is the vision, oh great. This is the vision I see for the Paradise Church. That's our church, folks. We need to come together and kneel down and pray and plead for the Holy Spirit. For days and weeks and months, no. But at least come together and do it. Whether it's a short time or a long time. I'm not a fan of long times. And so here's what I want to introduce to you. It's called the 10 Days of Prayer. And when will it be? Thursday, January 3rd, it will start, and it goes every day through Sabbath, January 13th. It'll be here at the Paradise Church. The time will be 7 to 8. The order of service will be a song. Then someone will read a scripture in prayer. Then a special music. Then a sermonette. By the way, the sermonettes are being preached by some of you in the audience, not by the pastors. And then an elder will come up, and he will kneel us down, and he will pray a prayer of intercession. And in the midst of that prayer, he'll stop so that all of you can pray and ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 10 days, folks. 10 days. 1 hour. Can't be longer. Especially if you've got little kids and you have school tomorrow. And I wonder how many of you will come. How many of you will see the importance of this? I want to tell you a true story. And then I got an assignment for you. I was part of the North American Division Prayer and Revival Study Group. And believe me, as a pastor, I was shocked to be on there with all these North American Division officers and all these officers of conferences. And there were a couple of pastors, me and Dwight Nelson. And believe me, I don't know how I got on there. But I'm thankful to the Lord. And so we meet together and try to figure out how to get our church praying. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? And I'll never forget our chairman, who was the president of Washington. He's no longer with us. And he said, let's put the agenda aside, go in the anteroom. There's where we eat and where we meet, but there's a little anteroom in between. And let's kneel down and pray together. And so we go in that room, and I'm kneeling down looking at all these people who are very official. And we start to pray, and all of a sudden, somebody on my right prayed for somebody across there who was dealing with an issue. And then all of a sudden, someone over here prayed with someone over there who had an issue. And all of a sudden, each other started to pray for one another, and I'm sitting there just flabbergasted, and all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. And I felt in unity with these people who were, you know, if you don't mind me using the term, above my head. I experienced that. That's why we pray here at this church. But if you don't come, you don't experience it. God is willing and ready and able to pour out that Spirit, and we must find opportunities like this. Yes, you have to go out of your way, and you have to come here. But it's for 1 hour, and it's for a specific purpose, if nothing else, to get us all convicted that we need to do what we're doing. And so with that, I'm going to give you an assignment. I have here in my hand a book. It's called Steps to Personal Revival. You know how much this cost? I got it off the internet for free. I printed it out. It's 110 pages, and it's huge print. I like books like that. And the pastor who wrote this is from Switzerland, Helmut Habel. And he did what he's going to tell us about here with his church, and it just revived that church, revived that area. He wrote this book, and Dwight Nelson reads it, just an example of one person, preaches it, and the next thing you know, this book is going out to all North America division. I wonder how many read it, though. Remember, we're human. I assign you to get on the internet, and if you can't, you call Donna and we'll get you a copy, okay? and you put steps to personal revival, and you'll get all kinds of websites, but one says PDF. And if you click on the PDF, this whole book comes up. I printed it on my own printer. It says, our Lord Himself has given the command, let yourselves be consistently and repeatedly filled anew with the Spirit. Steps to personal revival. You got 1 month to read this book before the 10 days of prayer. 110 pages, large print, and there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 chapters. You could read one chapter a day for 11 days. And by January, have it finished. I guarantee if you read this book, and you'll be here for the 10 days of prayer, no matter how difficult that may make your life. And God will reward you for doing that. So that's enough for now. And even practice before you read this book by praying every day for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us pastors and elders, on our church, our denomination. But send the Spirit, please, who can take Peter, who cowed down in front of a couple officials during a nighttime service where they were condemning Jesus, to a man who stood before the entire religious leader group and said, you people killed the Messiah. Father in heaven, dismiss us with a resolve to find this book and read it, a resolve to come to the 10 days of prayer. And Lord, if we make that decision, help each person go home and write it on a piece of paper. Satan will come and he will tell them that was a stupid decision to make. You're too busy. You're too important. You're too educated. You're too tired. You're too overworked. You got problems at home. He'll say all of that to take away that conviction. But I want you to stop it from happening. That we would be the good ground, Lord. And we would come here, even if we're ignorant, like myself. You'll teach us in 10 days, just like you did the disciples. So bless us now. Help us to make that decision. And thank you for always hearing and answering our prayer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.